Salieri, the old man from the 1984 film Amadeus, was a renowned composer, well-liked, admired, until the arrival of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Younger, much more gifted, Mozart's music soared to the heavens beyond anything anyone had ever produced or ever heard. Salieri goes from simple jealousy to murderous envy in the film. At one point he says, God was singing through this little man to all the world, unstoppable, making my defeat more bitter with every passing bar. So Salieri goes on to wage war against God, vowing to destroy Mozart in a chilling plan that would end in death and madness. His experience with the priest that we saw in the clip just confirms the truth that Salieri cannot bear to admit to himself, but he cannot escape. That his own musical talent will always be second rate, and second best, compared to Mozart's divine gift. And so he is filled with envy and rage. This is the third in the series of seven deadly soul viruses. I want us to take a look today at another one of those deadly sins, those seven deadly sins, within our own hearts. These seven sins act like viruses that infect the soul, lead to destructive thinking and behavior that poisons our relationship, damages our own soul, and pushes us away from God. Today, as so well portrayed throughout the entire film of Amadeus, it's the deadly soul virus, envy. What exactly is envy, anyway? Well, according to the dictionary, it's a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, positions, etc. That expression, green with envy, denotes that historically, envy has been personified as a sickly, pathetic person. The expression green-eyed monster was first coined by Shakespeare in Othello, where Othello's friend Iago says, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." Of all the sins, envy seems to be its own punishment, because we're diminished a little more every time we look with envy on the talents, gifts, or position of another. It's really hard to imagine someone relishing envy or receiving any pleasure from it. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Envy's masochistic. Envy has the toxic ability to distract my heart and mind from the blessings that God has given me, to focusing instead on the gifts, status, talents, and joys that He gives my brother or my neighbor or my coworker. This is not only a rejection of the good that God has given to me, this is a desire to become something, someone God never meant me to be, and that I would not enjoy if I was able to accomplish it. Envy is a deadly sin because it inspires us, or drags us down, you might say, to the point of saying to God, "The life you've given me is subpar. You should have given me what you gave him. You cheated me." That was Salieri. He shook his fist at God and said, "You cheated me because you did not give me what you gave Mozart." The envious, they don't want to have one too. They want the very thing their rival has. "I want the one she has," as the picture kind of shows. While the covetous person, and Coveting, by the way, is one of those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And it's talking about coveting things that your neighbor has or someone else has. Covetous person, their desires are focused on having an object. They want it. They just want the object. The envious one goes beyond that and is at least as concerned that his or her rival not have it. Victor Hugo penned a poem that recounts an opportunity granted to envy and greed, and each one got to make a wish. They could ask whatever they wanted on the condition that the other received a double portion. Envy immediately replied, "I wish to be blind in one eye." Double portion, that's the other guy's. That didn't work in the first service either, but anyway, I liked it. It makes the point, envy wishes bad on the other person who's got what you don't have. Envy targets the internal qualities of another person, qualities that give a person worth, honor, standing, status. There's a difference between wanting a BMW because we're car aficionados and we love the driving performance of a particular model and wanting a BMW because it'll make us feel superior to our neighbor who just bought a Camry. It's not the car that makes us green with envy so much as what being the owner of the car says about who we are, the person that is respected and the admiration that we receive when we drive up in it. The bottom line for the envious person is how they stack up against others because they measure their self-worth comparatively. The envier makes attaining this love and worth a competitive game. Envy can show itself in some of the following ways. Do not raise your hand if you have felt these things. Just keep it between you and God, and that'll be great, because that's what I'm going to do. First, feeling offended at the talents, successes, or good fortunes of others. Does it ever aggravate you as somebody else gets some particular blessing that you didn't get? Selfish or unnecessary rivalry and competition. Just got to be one step above. Pleasure at another's difficulties, distress, and failures. There's a great sports illustration in this. There is a certain sports team that I really, really like. There's a couple of them that I pull for, that I get emotional about, and I want them to win. Because when they win, I feel good. When they lose, I feel bad for a little bit. That's the way sports works. It's crazy, I know. I keep thinking I'm going to give it all up, but I can't. You just love it. And when my team wins, I feel good. But you know what else makes me feel good? When that certain team I can't stand loses. If my team can't win, I want them to lose. And then I'll feel a little bit better. I won't mention what team that might be, but we all have them if we're true sports fans. And that's, you know, kind of harmless silliness when it comes to sports. But when it comes to the people that you work beside, live beside, or live with, is deadly. God gets the ultimate blame for what the envier perceives to be an unjust distribution of talent or position or possessions. Those who envy are bitter because in their judgment, they are worth less because someone else is better or has more. The Greek word zelos, found in the New Testament a number of times, is sometimes translated envy and sometimes translated jealousy. The two are closely related. As in Paul's list of the acts of the sinful nature in Galatians 5, he gives us this list, and we find envy in that list right alongside debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and the like. It's a serious problem. And Paul warns his readers that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. thing is, the primary definition of that Greek word zelos is simply zeal, marked by a sense of dedication. Well, that's a good thing, to be zealous, to be passionate about something. I like to see that in my kids, in my grandkids, this sort of a zealous passion for things. And it's used in a positive sense many times in the New Testament. Same word. For example, zeal. But when it's used in a positive way, it's not translated envy or jealousy. It's translated zeal or ardor or something like that. For like zeal for ministry or zeal for God or zeal for the house of God. They're all examples in the New Testament. Same word in a positive way. Paul writes about divine jealousy or zeal for his people, meaning the deepest kind of love for his people. Contrary to what some might think, the Bible regards that desire, that passion, as a good thing, a God-given attribute. That's good. The problem arises when zeal, this passion, is turned or applied in a negative direction. And when it's applied in a negative direction, it gets translated, that zelos gets translated envy. It becomes intense, negative feelings over another's success or achievements. James teaches us a little more about envy. He talks about it in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, where he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." James couples this zelos, envy, with pikros, which is bitter. And the primary meaning of pikros is bitter taste, this very kind of visceral sense of tasting something that's nasty and bitter. And envy and jealousy in the heart always produces a bitter taste in the mouth. And according to James, it's of the devil and produces every kind of evil practice. If you've never seen Amadeus, a great film to go rent and see how it turns out. The bitter envy in the heart of Soleri causes him to do some horrible things. That's what envy leads to. Zelao is the verbal form of zelaos. It also has a positive meaning, primarily. Intensely interested in something, striving, desiring, exerting oneself earnestly with a dedicated heart. Well, that's a good thing. Paul uses it in the positive sense in 1 Corinthians 12:31 when he encourages the Corinthians to earnestly desire, zelao, the greater gifts of the Spirit. But as with the noun form, this intense desire turned toward evil becomes jealousy or envy. And that leads me to the primary text for today. 1 Corinthians 13, where envy is only mentioned once. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And every time I read that, and every time I quote that, my first thought is, thank you, God, that you love me like that. Forgive me that I don't love like that. And help me. Help me, Lord God, to be so filled with your love that I can love like you do. I'm still a work in progress on that. Paul identifies zelao, envy, as antagonistic to love. It's Paul's first kind of anti-love attitude or behavior in this powerful description of true Christian love. We cannot love a brother or a neighbor while being envious of his position or his gifts or his talents or his status. Rebecca DeYoung, in her book Glittering Vices, says, "To love is to seek others' good and rejoice when they have it. To envy is to seek to destroy others' good and sorrow over their having it. Envy undercuts love of our neighbor. Hatred of the rival is an elaborate cover-up, ultimately, for the envier's sense of rejection and unworthiness, his own self-hatred. The commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. The envier can do neither. Envy is anything but patient and kind. Envy is the sickness of the self-seeking person who can never stop thinking about himself and who is angered over what his neighbor or his brother has that he doesn't have. Envy is expressed in rude behavior meant to bring a perceived superior person down to my level. Rudeness is a thin veil for envious hatred. Envy is rooted in pride because the one who envies thinks he deserves to be first. First in rank above all his rivals. Envy will not allow rejoicing with the truth, but is always looking to rejoice in the evil delight when his rival falls. Envy robs its host of hope and perseveres only in bitterness and hatred of the one that has what it wants. Envy will not allow for love. To be envious is to be determined to live in a way that precludes gratitude, contentment, love, and happiness. Relationships of love are the only thing that brings true happiness. The envious pursue happiness in a way that undermines their chances of having it. The only escape from this soul virus is to find a completely different foundation for our self-worth, to realize that we're loved unconditionally, not because of our moral worthiness, our attractiveness, our worldly achievements, but simply because we're created in the image of God and redeemed by Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're fully, completely loved. Amadeus. The film's title kind of plays on the idea that God plays favorites. Amadeus means loved by God, as in Mozart, loved by God. Salieri, not so much, at least in Salieri's mind. His ultimate gripes not with Mozart, but with God, for giving Mozart greater talent than he got. The envious reject God's love, hate others, and condemn themselves to a hell of their own making right here on earth. Evagrius, the desert father from 3rd century, he calls envy a sadness. Thomas Aquinas says, envy is that sin of wishing that things were other than they are with your life. And when you think about it, that is very sad indeed. When we struggle with envy, we must remember what the father in the parable of the prodigal son said to the envious older brother. You remember the story. The son goes off. The younger son takes his part of the fortune, wastes it, comes home with a repentant heart, and the father welcomes him, throws a big party. The older son, who'd remained at home working hard all his life, felt sorry for himself. He exiles himself into the field, refuses to come into the party to welcome his brother home. He's filled with envy. And the father goes out and he says, "My son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours." Let's take a moment. I invite you, if you'd like to, take a moment to bow your head, kind of do business with God in your own heart. Ask Him, Lord, reveal in me any hint of an envious heart. Ask Him to reveal that. That you may confess that. Repent, turn away from it, and be free and filled with gratitude and love. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, I suspect every one of us has had at least moments of envy where we wish we could be as good as or better than somebody else. And every time we do that, it diminishes our life. Every time we do that, it seems so ungrateful for the blessings that we have. So, Lord God, we confess sometimes we struggle with that. Help us to be aware and to turn away from that enviousness and to be filled instead with gratitude toward you for what you have blessed us with. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts filled with gratitude, that we may love as you love, that we may rejoice with our brother when he is blessed, our sister when she is blessed, that we may be content with the gifts you've given us. Help us to remember, Lord God, that the gift of Christ in us is the best gift of all. For the assignment, I was a history teacher once long ago, so every once in a while I do this. I think one of the things I wanted to do with this whole series about dealing with particular sins in our own hearts is to give you a specific assignment, a way to kind of go home and work on it a little bit. So 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy," the one we're focused on, "and slander of every kind." And my question is, how? How do we do that? How do we go about ridding ourselves of that? Well, if your heart is suffering with the envy virus, how do you get rid of it? Well, I want to offer you a couple of ideas and ways to kind of approach this. I'm going to call this assignment Counting and Rejoicing. There's three parts again. Number one, count your blessings. List them. Write them down one by one till you get to 100. I did this on my back patio yesterday. I just took my journal and I started writing and numbered them off. There's lots of names of people that are blessings in my life. Some of you made the top 100. Not all of you, but some of you did. You know? Don't ask, okay? That's a don't ask, don't tell thing. So I just started going. And each the longer the list got, the more it felt like the Spirit moved within me, filling me with gratitude and thanksgiving. And as you focus on what God has given you, whatever your situation, whatever your troubles, whatever you lack in your own mind, whether real or imagined, you get your mind off of that and onto what God has given you, which turns out to be a whole lot more than you imagine. So make the list and keep writing. Just keep writing till you get to 100 and be thankful. Number two, rejoice with somebody else in their blessing. Wait and look till you see someone else who gets a blessing, especially one you'd kind of like to have. If your neighbor wins the lottery, don't ask for a loan. Go over and say, "I thank God for this great blessing in your life." And then go back home. And I'm not for buying lottery tickets, by the way. Just throw that in. But rejoice. If somebody else gets the promotion, and deep inside you're going to like, I should have got that. I've been here longer. I work harder. I know I'm smarter and I'm better looking. Why didn't I get that? Don't do that. Or if you do, if it comes out before you realize it, confess it quietly to God, ask His forgiveness, and then go rejoice with the person who got blessed. Even write a note and send it. I thank God for this blessing He's given you. Find someone to rejoice with. Okay? It's a challenge. And number three, memorize 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a, which was the passage for today. And then reflect on it through the week. And if you're not good at the whole memorization thing, I don't really care that much if you memorize it, but I do want you to read through it daily. Meditate on it. Because that's how God loves you. And that's how God calls you as a follower of Christ to love everybody. Not just the ones that are easy to love, but everybody. So we all need to work on that. Christians should be characterized in this culture by that kind of love. Not judgment and hatred and arrogance and pride and that other stuff that seems to sneak out of us all too often. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Yeah, that's the heart of what the gospel is in terms of what it does to you. It should do that to you. Cause you to start loving like that. So those are your assignment. I'll put the assignment on my blog this afternoon. And you can go there if you need to, and that'd be fine. Okay, now you've got your assignment. We're going to deal with this whole envy thing. We're going to get it out of our system and be filled with gratitude. So stand, and I'll give you the blessing so that you can, to send you out the door to do battle with the envy demon. May your heart be filled with gratitude and love that you may rejoice in your neighbor's blessing as well as in your own. Amen.